living in a defining moment. I believe all of us recognize that this is a once-in-a-lifetime moment as a nation, as a world, as a people. This is the fifth month that we are in the midst of a pandemic that has literally brought our whole world to a screeching halt. And I believe that right now, God is, I heard what one pastor said, this thing is too big for God to waste it. And I believe that God is moving in the midst of it. Can I have an amen? Seems like every time they try to restart something, seems like God says, not now. How many know he's still in control? But I believe, listen to me, I sense so strongly that God is using the current crisis that we're experiencing to bring about a reset. I've titled this message, I'm going to title this series, The Great Reset, because I believe we're going to look back at 2020 and we're going to see that God was resetting some things. Many of you know, if you got a smartphone, sometimes, you know, this is a powerful device. You know that the average smartphone is a million times more powerful than the computer that put the people on the moon. You got that kind of power in your hand. Say power. But how many of you know that sometimes, you know, you can download so many apps and you can run so many things and it can get bogged down that it don't perform like it's supposed to? Can you understand? And how many of you know that sometimes you ever see that little circle and it just start buffering and it look like it's just not doing anything? And you know, like, what you ever ask anybody, what's the problem? And, you know, I used to work at a help desk, and I would often tell people, well, listen, what you need to do is you just need to reset it. Look at somebody and say, you just need to reset it. Because sometimes, listen, when you reset, a reset restores the original factory settings. And I want you to know that sometimes, because our just like a computer, we can get bogged down, we can get corrupted, files get corrupted. Sometimes it can get a virus and things. And sometimes you gotta just reset a thing so that it can get back to its original purpose. And I believe that God is doing a divine reset right now in our country, right now in our world, but especially in the church. Can I have an amen? How many believe that God is resetting some things? And I just believe that with all my heart, that God, listen, I said this, listen, God is using this pandemic, because much like our computers, how many realize that over time the church had gotten hung up, it had gotten bogged down, it no longer operated the way God wanted to operate it? How many know sometimes the operating system wasn't working like it should, but God brought it to God, said, listen, it's time to reset. Look at somebody and say, it's time to reset. And I believe that God has a way of sometime just bringing everything to a screeching halt. Listen, nobody could have predicted that 2020 would be the way it is. I mean, look, everything that came to a halt. I mean, the NBA, the MLB, the NFL, the entertainment, the Hollywood industry, everything came to a screeching halt. God know how to shut it down. Can I have an amen? And sometimes we need to shut things down. But you know, it's amazing that sometimes when things get shut down, how all of a sudden we begin to see what's really important. Sometimes we begin to see what we really lost. Years ago, there was I'm coming back to a heart of worship. And he said, when the music fades and everything strips away, I simply come. You know, that sometimes we make things more complicated than God intended it. Can I have an amen? Does that happen? Sometimes our lives get cluttered. Sometimes our families get cluttered. Sometimes, you know, we get so bogged down that we lose sight of what God wants to do. And I believe that what has happened, not just in the church, but sometimes in our lives. You know, it was interesting that during this pandemic, I saw husbands and wives walking together that never walked together. Somebody say amen. I saw parents and sons, parents and children playing together that never had played together before. See, God has a way of taking what the enemy had meant for bad. God can turn it around and he can work it for our good. Look at somebody and say, reset. And I believe that God is wanting to reset some things. And for the next several weeks, I'm going to look at just some areas that God wants to bring reset in our lives, because it's been amazing. Let me just tell you that God has a way of doing it. Anybody find yourself praying more than you ever prayed before? Anybody ever find yourself that, listen, I need God more than I ever need before? And I'm just telling you, God is doing it, and it's amazing. You know, the Bible, there's a scripture that says, this is the Lord's doing. I don't care. You can blame it on everybody. Let me just tell you, God is working in this thing, and God is wanting to do some things and wanting to do what I call a divine reset. And so this morning I've titled this message, Restoring the Power. Look at somebody and say, Restoring the Power. You know, they might not hear you, but they can see your eyes. Look at somebody and say, Restoring the Power. Amen. How many of you know we need some power in our lives? One of the things that as I begin reading the Bible and I begin reading the early church, you know, because we're going to begin looking at the book of Acts, and we're going to begin to see how God intended the church to be. Have you ever read the Bible and you ever come away and say, man, listen, we've gotten so far away what God really intended? Have you ever looked at the book of Acts and say, my, you know, there's something glorious about what's happening there? And sometimes we can move so far away from what God really intended the church to be. And so I want you to know, I've been reading the book of Acts, and one of the things is clear to me that the Christian life was never intended to be lived apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's like having a computer but no power. It's like you know, having all the power available but you don't plug it in. And I believe that God is once again resetting. And so I want to talk to you this morning real briefly for the next few minutes. I want to talk and spend a little time on talking about the importance of restoring power in the life, not only of the church, but each of our lives. Because I want you to know that it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can ever be what God intended us to be. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that the church can ever fulfill what Jesus called us to fulfill. And I want you to know, we're living at a time as never before where the world needs to see a demonstration. They need more than an explanation. They need a demonstration. And that's what the Holy Spirit come to do. He came to Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. Right now, that there's 30 million people right now who are out of work. You know, I was talking with one of our members, and he works for a major corporation, and they're talking about laying off. And he says, you know, it's almost frightening when you see the potential of what may happen, and if we don't come out of this thing. But how many of you know God is still God? And I've learned that he know how to make a way. He can provide for you in the midst of a pandemic. Somebody say amen. And this is why we don't have to fear, because you know what? He says, I'm the Lord, your provider. Come on, that's why you don't have to start hoarding up. You don't have to start getting in fear. I believe if you'll get it, stay in faith. Come on, you don't have to live like the world live. You don't have to be controlled by fear. You don't have to be controlled by worry. How many of you know you can? God is watching over you. Why you need to stay up and watch? Because you know the Lord is your keeper. How many of you know if God is watching over you, why you need to stay up and watch? Can I have an amen? Actually, the Bible says that in the book of Psalms, I think it's Psalms around 121, it says it's vain to stay up all night to keep watch, because we have a God who watches over us. And so I want to share with you real quickly. Listen, first of all, if we're going to restore the power, we must recognize our need for power. In other words, the church can begin to operate. It can get so bogged down that we begin to think that living without power is normal. Years ago, I read the story of a person from a third world came to America, and he came to visit different churches, and they were asked him and said, listen, you know, what do you think about our churches? As he marveled at our fine buildings and our fancy lighting and our nice bands and all that. And the foreigner replied, he said, I'm amazed what Americans can do without the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, I believe that God has a way. You know, I believe that sometimes God shut things down so that we can begin to see what's really important. I'm reading Acts chapter 4, verses 13. You know, here was Peter, in John, and I want to read it. Many of you know that they were apprehended and they were brought before the religious leaders. And listen to what it says in Acts 4, verse 13. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note. What did they take note? They took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now I want you to know, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they recognized that something was different. Here was Peter cussing Peter. Here was Peter who had denied Jesus three times. Here was Peter who had often questioned and doubted. But now here's Peter full of courage, full of boldness, and unashamed of Jesus. Something happened. I want to tell you what happened. It was the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 verse 1, when they were all together in one place and one accord, suddenly there came from heaven the sound of a rushing mighty wind. How many know wind always speaks of the power of God? How many know we need the power of God? And the Bible says, and all of a sudden, as the power came into the room that sat upon them, tongues of fire. How many of the fire speaks of the purifying work of God? How many of we not only need the power of God, but we need the Holy Spirit to come and refine us and purify us? I want you to know you can't live the way you ought to live without the fire of the Holy Ghost, without the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm grateful for the refiner's fire. He comes, you know, he'll cause you to walk right. He'll cause you to live the way you ought to live. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. How many, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to live this Christian life. You can't live it without the Holy Spirit's power. And here was Peter and John. The Bible said they were astonished. I want to ask you a question real quick. Your life until you have been with Jesus. Prior to Pentecost, we see disciples who were fearful, who were cussing, who were denying Jesus. But as a result of the power of the Holy Spirit, we see men whose lives were transformed. They stood up boldly and unafraid. I want you to know that here's why we need power, because one of the greatest testimonies is the difference others see in our lives. A changed life convinced people that something God is, that there has to be a power in your life. Just like Raymond shared earlier, let me just tell you, when the world is living in fear, I want you to know that they begin to see you live a life of faith, a life of courage and bold. They say there got to be something different about your life. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, hear me real quickly. Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says God will once again shake everything that can be shaken. But I like verse 28. It says, but seeing that we are part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken, I want you to know that, listen to me, if the world is shaking around you, if you're shaking like the world, is a good sign that you ain't standing on the rock. But how many know we are part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken? When everything around you is shaken, aren't you glad that we have a kingdom that cannot be moved? But you got to abide in him. You got to stand flat-footed in him. That's why, listen to me, I shared, I appreciate, I ran into Brother Joe at PJ's Coffee, and he encouraged me. He said, Pastor, when you said the safest place in all the world is being in the center of the will of God, he said, that spoke to my heart. He said, I realize that right there. I don't have to live in fear. If I'll just do the will of God, if I'll seek the will of God, then I can trust him, and I can know that everything's going to be all right. Let me just say, if anybody ought to not be afraid, it's believers, because we're in a win-win situation. Come on, let me just say, listen, if anybody ought to not be afraid of dying, come on, it ought to be us. Can I have an amen? Because if we die, we go to be with Jesus. If we live, that means more service for God. Paul said, listen, we can't lose with the stuff we use. Somebody say amen. And so as believers, we're called to live lives full of the power. Jesus, Holy Spirit comes. Chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witness. I want you to know, listen, being means, listen, it's not just doing, it's what God does in you. You begin, you know, if you'll be what you ought to be, you'll say what you ought to say. Can I have an amen? And when the Holy Spirit comes in us, we become the people God wants us to be. We become the, you know, we become people who are full of the power of God, but also full of the evidence of the fruit of, or the character of God. I was sharing the other day, not the other day, yesterday. My wife, you know, we were supposed to go visit some people, and we talked about it earlier, and I'm a punctual person. I like to get it done. I like to get it out of the way, and, you know, she kept, well, taking her time, and I want to tell you how, you know, it began to wear my patience. But how, you know, thank God for the Holy Ghost. I passed the test. I didn't cuss. I didn't get up. Oh, come on, somebody. Thank. You know, the Bible said, why, listen to me. It's the Holy Spirit. I want you to know, anybody been tested through this COVID-19? Let me just tell you, God, 2 Timothy 1:7, what is, the Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You know, the fact that, let me just tell you, how do you know? You see, if you're living in fear today, if your life is powerless today, it may be a sign that, God, I need some power in my life today. Let me just tell you, here's an example. The evidence of the inworking Holy Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is patience, is kindness, is goodness, is faithfulness, is gentleness, and is self-control. If your life is out of control, it may be a sign that you need to reset. It may be a time that, it may be a sign you need to reboot. Because I want you to know, God wants to give you, it's his desire for you and I to be empowered by the Spirit. It's his desire for you and I to live lives full of the Spirit. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of whose might? Whose might? Hear me carefully. It's not in our ability. People, you know, I can't do this in my own strength. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't live this life. You can't be what God wants you to be in your strength. But it's in his might. And I want you to know that until you and I see our deep need, let me just say, I believe that sometimes God shut everything down so that the church can realize, listen, it's not in your fancy buildings. It's not in your fine bands. Come on, it's not in your celebrity preaching. Come on, it's by my Spirit, because I want you to know we could have all of that and God not be in the midst. But I want you to know it's the Holy Spirit that we need in our midst. And we need to see as never before our need for the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm saying, come Holy Spirit as never before. If you find yourself easily angered, is a sign you need the Holy Spirit. If you find yourself dealing with discouragement and heaviness, I want you to know, listen, the Bible says, you read it in Isaiah 61. He said he'll give us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Come on, heaviness might come, but it can't stay. Can I? How many? It might come, but it can't stay, because you, when the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you, I want you, he'll give you joy for your sorrow. He'll give you beauty for your ashes. He'll give you, come on, a garment of praise. Somebody ought to give God some praise right now, that he give us praise. Come on. I refuse to be downcast. I don't care what's happening around me. We are part of a transcendent kingdom. That's why we can praise him, because we are part of a kingdom, come on, that says everything gonna be all right. I don't care what it look like. I want you to know that God, if God is before you, who can be against you? And that's why you got to walk in it. You got to let the world know that, listen, God is for us. He's on the inside of us. And greater, come on, say greater. Somebody say greater. Come on, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I want you to know the greater one lives on the inside of you. Come on, say it. Say greater. Come on, say it. I'm reading the Bible. Say greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus said he'll not just be with you, but he'll be in you. He'll be like a river flowing out of you. Come on, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he said, let me just tell you, he's with you, but he shall be in you. I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit. He said, out of your belly, somebody, come on. Oh, you ought to give him some praise. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. Say rivers. A river of living water. You know what a river does? A river refreshes. A river heals. A river waters. Now listen, notice God didn't say, I'm going to be in you like a well or reservoir just to hold it for yourself, but no, a river that flows. And I want you to know, here's the secret right now. If you want more of the Holy Ghost, you got to let it flow. You can't keep it for yourself. The Holy Spirit can't be confined inside of a building. I want you to know, you got to find a hurting person and you got to be willing to heal them. You got to find a person that's broken. See, the more you give out, the more it'll come back on you. That's why Jesus said about healing. He was talking about encouragement. He was talking about help. Whatever you give out, it shall come back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I want you to know, the more you give out, the more you'll get back. How many want more? Then I want you to know, it comes when you and I begin to allow the Holy Spirit to flow out of us. I want you to know that, listen, that's just point one. Come on, let me begin. I'm just getting too excited. But I'm just talking to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way. Listen to me. This is a word some of you might not be familiar with, but if you, all of the young people who work with technology, understand that there's something called malware. Malware. There's an abbreviation. Listen, if you and I are going to restore the power, we must remove the malware from our lives. Malware is an abbreviation for malicious software. You know, today if you use your computer, you notice if you go to certain sites, they download software on your computer. They'll say, is it okay to download this cookie? They call it a cookie, but the cookie gonna eat your lunch. Come on. And all of a sudden, is it okay to download? And a lot of times when you go on different sites, it downloads stuff on your computer, and sometimes it harms it. It stops the operating system. It causes things to bog down. And I want you to know that just like in the world of computers, I want you to know today, the devil, how many know he's the same? He wants to infect you with malware. He wants to infect you with malicious software that causes you to not operate the way God intended. And I want you to know, sometimes we need God to come on. Come on, how many know he's a virus fixer? He can come in and he can begin to remove out everything that's not supposed to be there. Look at somebody and say, we need to reset. And I want you to know, one of the purpose of a hard reset is to remove the malware. Sometimes computers get so affected. Sometimes they get so bogged down. Sometimes they get so cluttered that the only way is to do a hard reset so that you can restore the original settings. I believe that God said, listen, it wasn't good enough to just visit you. I needed to shut everything down. God said, listen, I needed to close the door because some of you got so dependent on the church building. Some of you got so used to church being or just on Sunday. Some of you begin to think that church was just what the preacher do. But God said, I had to shut it all down so I can reboot and go back to the original plan that God had. How many know God is restoring the original? Can I have an amen? And the original plan of God, hear me, the original plan, we got to go back to what his original plan. You know, let me just say, I'm just sometimes understand. I want you to hear what I'm saying. We got this idea in the church world. You know what? Praise God for the man of God and the woman of God. And I often say, well, if I'm the man of God, then what are you? The reality is, if you are a woman, you are the woman of God. If you are a man, you are the man of God. I mean, God don't have no big eyes and little you. God wants to use every one of you. Can I have an amen? And sometimes in the church, we've elevated, I mean, hear me, we've elevated celebrities. We've adopted this celebrity status that we think that only God uses certain people. That's why the Bible says, brothers, you see who you are when you're called. God says, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God uses the foolish thing. God will take a five-year-old and fill it with the Holy Ghost and use it more than somebody who's been to 5 years of college. Isn't it interesting that on the day of Pentecost, when God decided to pour out his Holy Spirit, he jumped over the school of academia. He jumped over the school of the high class, but he found low fishermen. The Bible, they were Galileans. In their days, they was considered hillbillies. They were considered backwards. They was considered ignorant and unlearned. Now let me just say, doesn't mean that God won't use education and God won't use, but I want you to know sometime in our society, we've gotten so dependent, we've got so reliant on man-made ideas and man-made plans and man-made traditions that we have lost sight of the Holy Ghost. I want you to know, you ain't smart enough. You ain't wise enough. Come on, yeah, you can go all the school all the rest of your life. You'll never figure out God. Can I have an amen? I'm reading Colossians. Can y'all give me a few more minutes? Listen, Colossians chapter 2 in verses 8. It says, be careful not to let anyone rob you of this faith. I'm reading the God's Word translation, Colossians 2, 8. Through a shallow and misleading philosophy, such a person follows human traditions and world's way of doing things rather than following Christ. Here, I'm telling you, I believe one of the rather than divine limited. It takes, we have made man-made solutions the answer rather than divine limited. It takes a rather than divine solution. No man-made solution can solve spiritual problems. We have a whole church world. Some are looking to politics. Some are looking to business. Some are looking to this and that. I want you to know, I'm going to say it again, fat-footed. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It matters what's happening in God's house. Because God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. I want you to know, no president can do that. It takes the Holy Ghost to do that. Somebody say amen. Don't get caught up in the hype. Don't get caught up in the division. Let me just say, I believe we ought to exercise our right. I believe we ought to vote. I believe we ought to pray and believe God for godly men and women to be put in office. But my hope is not in the White House. My hope is in God's house. My hope is in the Lord, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. That's why don't get caught up in arguments that draw you away from Christ. We got so many Christians arguing about this one and that one and this thing. And then I want you to know, it's the tool of the devil. He always wants to divide. I'm telling you, they say, well, who are you? Are you left wing? Are you right wing? Last time I saw, you need both wings to fly. Can I have them? Amen. Listen. I'm telling you, let me just tell you, I ain't going to get caught up in that foolishness. I'm here to reach the Democrat and the Republican. I'm here to reach the left wing and the right wing. I'm here to reach whoever needs Jesus, because I want you to know, the answer is not what wing you are. The answer is Jesus. Can I have an amen? Somebody ought to give God some praise right now. We've elevated everything other than Jesus. I'm going to say it again. We've elevated everything other than Jesus. We've gotten bogged down. We've gotten overloaded. We no longer operating the way God fully intended. I want you to know, and so we got to step away and say, God, come on, show us anything that is infecting our operating system, Lord. Anything that is, any malware, any malicious software that is causing us not to operate the way God intended. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 1-5. He says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolve to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ. Say Jesus Christ. Come on, shout it. Say Jesus Christ. He said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is what He said. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My speech or my message and my preaching was not done with wise and persuasive words, but in demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Look what it says in speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus, who He is, then Jesus, what He did, Jesus crucified. Although Paul was a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant scholar, he chose not to impress people with his words. He chose to say, I need the reliance of the Holy Spirit. He recognized that, listen, in all our fancy speeches, we can't save one person. We can't heal one person. We can't deliver one person. I want you to know, it takes the Holy Spirit. Is the working of the Holy Spirit that is needed in people's lives. I am telling y'all right now, let me just tell you, we're living in a time. I don't know where things are going. I shared with some of our leaders. Let me just tell you, I think things are going to get a lot worse before they get better. I'm just sharing my gut feeling, what I sense from the Holy Ghost. But I've learned this in my 40 years of living for the Lord. I've learned that God does his greatest works in times of crisis, in times of trial. And I believe that this is going to furnish a great opportunity for the church. So look at somebody and say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Come on, let me tell you, God need men and women who are full of the power. God need men and women who are not afraid. God need people. Listen, that's why we need to get reset it so that we can go back to the original design. God didn't intend just for the pastor to pray for people. God intended every one of you. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, beginning at 15, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. How many believers do I have in the house? Come on, raise your hand. Let me just see. How many believers do I have in the house? Stand to your feet. If you're a believer, just stand up right quick. Because if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, well, listen to what Jesus said about you. He didn't say, in my name, the apostle will lay hands on the sick. In my name, the prophet shall cast out devil. In my name, the evangelist shall. No, listen, if you are a believer, if you're a believer, just raise up both hands and give God some praise. Come on, thank him. Thank him that he saved you. Thank him that he filled you. Come on, thank him right now for the Holy Ghost. Thank him for saving you. Come on, he healed your body. He touched your mind. Come on, he saved you just in time. Give God some praise. Come on, all over. Don't look at me. You talk to the Lord. You tell him how much you love him. Tell him, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. I'm telling you, I'm so glad that I'm saved. I'm so glad that he saved me. I want you to know, let me just tell you. But hear me before you sit down. Mark 16. Jesus gave his great commission. He said, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he said, listen, these signs shall follow. Hear me, I can't go where you go. I can't work where you work. I'm not going to be where you are. But everywhere you go, listen to me. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Say he said, in my name, you shall cast out devils. In my name. Come on, this is what he said, listen, in my name, that it's not in New Wine's name. Oh, I thank you. Thank you for putting it up there. Listen, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. You will cast out demons in my name. You will speak in new tongues or new languages. Put the next verse. They will be able, listen, you will be able to take up snakes and deadly things. And if you drink any poison, you hear that? That's why you ain't got to be afraid of any virus. Because let me just tell you, you got a great hurt you. If you drink anything poisonous, it will not hurt you. Now listen, I'm not talking about being foolish, but if you and I are in the center of the will of God, we can trust God that, God, if I'm doing your will, I'm protected. Let me just tell you, we for 5 months now, we have fed our community. No coke, nobody got sick. For 5 months, we have prayed for people. Nobody got sick. I want you to know, because I believe if you'll do what God called you to do, God will protect you. Somebody give him some praise. Y'all imagine all the people we came in contact. But listen what he said. It will not hurt you. Listen. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Now this is why I need to tell y'all. We're living in a sick world. We're living in a broken world. It's impossible for me to pray for everybody. God never intended it that way. You are the man of God as a man. You are the woman of God. The next, put the last verse up there. Put the last verse. Listen. And when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up to heaven and sat down in the place of honor. Put the next verse. Listen. And the disciples, talking about the believer. Listen. And the disciples, saying the disciples. And they went everywhere. Say everywhere. That means on reserve. That means Garaville. That means La supply. That means Monza. That means St. Charles Parish. That means St. James Parish. That means, listen, I can't go everywhere, but you're going to go everywhere. That means in the White House. That means in the crack house. That means in the outhouse. That means in the drug house. That means God said they went everywhere. That means, listen to me, wherever people are, that's where they went. And the good news said, and the Lord worked with them. I want you to know, it wasn't what they did, but it was what the Holy Ghost did. The Holy Spirit worked with them, confirming his word with signs and wonders. I want you to know, you can sit right now. I'm closing right now. I'm closing with this last point. Hear me. They went. They did it. They did it. And this is what I want you to know. God is resetting the church. He's saying, listen to me, I'm resetting all this mess about you elevating this one and elevating that one. God said, no, I've given you the power. Look at somebody and say, I got the power. If you got the Holy Ghost, if you have the Holy Spirit, if you don't have him, you can get him. Come on. But if you don't have, but I want you to know, if you have the Holy Spirit, then you have the power. He lives in you. He dwells in you. You got to activate it. You got to do it. And last thing as I close, listen to me. Because we're leaky vessels. I have a computer. I think the battery for more than is about 8 hours. But if I leave it and I use it off the charger for more than 8 hours, how many know it will die? It will go down because it has to stay connected to the power in order to operate the way God intended. What I want you to know, it's not enough for you and I to be filled one time. We need to be continually, ongoing filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a daily thing. Lastly, I'm finished. Now listen to me. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, listen, I'm going to say that we must regularly recharge our spiritual battery. If we're going to restore the power, one time I was trying to figure out, man, what happened to my computer? It was dead. It didn't want to work. Whatever. Well, you know what? The plug wasn't all the way plugged in. The minute I plugged it in that 110, all of a sudden the light came on. Beep. And power was restored. You and I have a power source. Ephesians 5 verse 18, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. It's amazing how many Christians, you know, I got about 4,000 or 5,000 Facebook friends, a lot of them believers, a lot of them non-believers, whatever. I'm amazed at how many believers, you know, when they're talking about getting ready for the storm, oh God, they got a picture, I got my wine, I got this here, I got that. I ain't hating on nobody. Listen, I'm not little. But I hope somebody begin to say, I got the Holy Spirit. I hope somebody can say, I got a power. I got something that'll comfort me. I got something that'll give me a high. I got something that, listen, I like what he said. Don't be drunk with wine that leads to ruin. But listen, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand clearly, Paul contrasts getting drunk with wine, which produced a temporary high. I knew I used to be drunk. I ain't hating on nobody. I used to drink. I used to like to get that little buzz. You know, I didn't just like a little buzz. I like too much of a buzz. Anybody had a problem with wanting a buzz? Well, anyway, listen to me. But the problem is, listen to me. But it always messed me up. Paul is contrasting with drunkenness with wine, a temporary high, with being filled with the Spirit, which produced a lasting joy. Getting drunk with this new wine, that's why we got our name, New Wine. I wanted people to come in and have an encounter with the Holy Spirit that will cause them to walk away drunk in the Spirit, cause them to walk away full of the Holy Spirit, cause them to walk away with a high, with a spiritual lifting up, realizing that, listen, God wants to give us the new wine, the wine of his Spirit, we should not be so concerned, because let me just tell you, a lot of people are filled with anxiety. A lot of people are filled with worry. A lot of people are filled with so they got to take tranquilizers. Do you realize that right now, if you just Google it, I don't have the accurate Google in front of me, but if you Google how many Americans right now are on painkillers, tranquilizers, things to make them go to sleep, things to make them get up, is more than one third of Americans. The last time I looked, that means 1, 2, 3. You're on something to help you go to bed. You're on something to help you to rest at night. We are a culture that's been sedated, been drugged. I want you to know, you can read the article, The Drugging of America, and we got millions. It's in the church right now. We taking pill for this. We taking pill for that. I'm not hating on you. Listen to what I'm telling you. I'm telling you there's an alternative. It's called the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you that, listen, there is an alternative, and I want you to know that he will lift you up. He will free your mind. He will give you peace that will pass all understanding. All hell can be breaking out around you, but he'll give you peace that'll cause you to sleep in the midst of a storm. I'm telling you, the storm could be raging, and you could be sleeping like a baby. It's called the Holy Spirit, and that's what he wants to do. And he wants to do is, listen, the last verse I'm reading, after they had prayed in Acts 4, you see they got filled in Acts chapter 2. But it wasn't a one-time thing. It was an ongoing thing. When they were threatened, the Bible said they began to pray. They said, Lord, you behold their threats. And look what they're doing. They said, and they prayed, and the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Notice there's a direct correlation between prayer and the Holy Spirit. Everywhere you read in the book of Acts, you see a direct correlation. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 1, and they gathered in the upper room and they prayed. Acts 2:1, and as a result, the Holy Spirit was poured out. You read in Acts as they prayed, as a result of prayer, the move of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4, as they prayed, the place was shaken and they were all filled with those. Everywhere there's a direct correlation between prayer. What's been so wonderful, every Saturday morning I've been amazed at people who've been joining us in this prayer. Good seeing all of you, my love, my friend. Listen to me. And they've been joining us in prayer. But let me just tell you, I get up from that and I'm telling you, I feel like fire on the inside. After I prayed, I feel the Holy Ghost. Because the more you pray, the more your Holy Ghost you give. I'm telling you, the more you give out. How many of you want more of the Holy Spirit? It comes when you're pressing in. Listen what Jesus, if you don't believe me, listen what Jesus said. Here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13. This is the last thing I read. So I say to you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. For everyone who seeks, find. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Listen, which of you fathers, if you ask for a fish, will give them a snake? Or if you ask for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Say, we need the power. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, you resetting the church. Oh, I'm telling you, something's about to happen. God's about to do something. Let me just tell you, God, I thank you that, Lord, today, God, I trust you. No one can come to you lest the Spirit draw them. God, no one can respond lest the Spirit begin to move on you. I'm not going to manipulate. I'm not going to beg anyone. But today, let me just say, if the Holy Spirit has drawn you and you say, Pastor, that word was for me today. I need a spiritual reset. I need a fresh restoring of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need to do that afresh. I need power to be the wife I need to be. I need power to be the husband I need. need to be. I need power to be the worker I need to be. I need power to be what God wants me to be. I need power to resist the temptation in my life. If that word was for you in any way, just stand on your feet. If it's not for you, just sit down. But if God has spoken to you today, and say, that's for me today. That's for me. That's for me. That's for me. That's for me. Come on. Just come on. Come on. We're going to close right now. If that's for you, just lift your hands up right all over this place and say, God, that's for me. Come on. Just say this. Say, Lord Jesus. Come on. Say, Lord Jesus. You are the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. You said if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Lord, I need your power to live the way you want me to live. I ask you today, fill me, fill my life to overflowing. Take control, less of me, more of you. Holy Spirit, take control today. In Jesus' name, thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for filling my life. I receive right now. I surrender right now. Holy Spirit, have all of me. Flow through me. Use me however you desire. In Jesus' name. Now give God some shout. Give him a praise all over. Come on, let's thank God. In the name of Jesus.